Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and you're listening to our pre-seminar series, the Pre-System Seminar. This is the training that we give away for free to anybody interested in business or internet marketing. We ask our system faculty to give us an hour of their time, and we basically ask them everything we can about what they've learned through their businesses and their business experience. These calls are designed to be pure content. Obviously, they're promotional in nature in that we're highlighting the fact that there's going to be a system seminar May 30th, 31st, and June 1st in Chicago. You can find out more information about that at thesystemseminar.com. I'll repeat this at the end of the call, but other than that, we are into the meat of the matter. Today's guest is Sean D'Souza. Welcome, Sean.
Good to be on.
I read only three business and marketing newsletters religiously. And one of them is Sean's. And what I like about Sean is how he teaches, not only teaches people technique and how to, but he also teaches people by example how to think and how to think through and address and then ultimately solve marketing problems. We can learn an awful lot by mastering other people's formulas, but we can learn far more when we start to learn how to address marketing issues on our own directly. Sean has a really fascinating life story. He's originally from India, and his initial training was in accounting, and he decided that that really wasn't what he wanted to do, so he decided to take up copywriting, got involved in advertising copywriting in India at a high level, learned that, gee, that wasn't quite for him either, and became fascinated with the idea of being a cartoonist. Made that transition, built up a successful practice as a cartoonist in India, and then thought, well, gee, you know, I think maybe I'd like to do this in New Zealand. Moved himself and his family to New Zealand, a different part of the world, with no particular special contacts or ends, and in short time had replicated his successful practice in a brand new country. And then discovered that, gee, I really like marketing. This is sort of a fascinating thing, and began teaching people how to market. The Internet came along, and he started to discover ways to use the Internet to build his reach or increase his reach so that he could get to more and more people. That evolved into a publishing business and a training and seminar business. And it just grows and grows and grows. And we're going to talk today on the topic of advanced information marketing, and Sean's going to explain how he does what he does and why he does it, what's behind it. So this is going to be I've been in information marketing since I was in my early 20s, and that was a fairly long time ago now, and I find Sean's approach to this subject very fresh, very unique, and very stimulating. So I always love talking with him. In fact, before this call, we were already having a private colloquium, and I had to remind myself that we had to do the recording. So, Sean, where would you like to start on this topic?
Well, where I want to start is a factor of how many clients you're dealing with. Now, most people deal with a lot of clients or aim to deal with lots of clients. So imagine you didn't have 100 or 200 or 500 clients. Imagine you just had 10. Well, the question is, how could you increase your income by, say, 200-300%, even more, with fewer clients? Mm. And how could you do this through information marketing? That's essentially what I'm going to cover. I'm going to really talk about three topics today. One is a topic of consumption, which almost no one talks about, and how consumption is the most critical tool in your marketing armory. The second topic is sequential selling and how it's directly linked to consumption. And then the third thing is how to engineer sequential selling by understanding cyclical pricing. And now all of this sounds very complex and almost like a professorial thing. You'll find that it's very simple to understand. I've got lots to cover, so I'm going to speak really quickly. You might want to keep a pen and paper to make sure you get it all. So you lead the way, Ken, and yeah, I'll go for it.
Great. Well, let's start with consumption. So what do you mean by consumption, Why does it matter? Why does consumption even matter? Why is that part of the equation? And then, if it is important, and you'll show, I assume you'll show us how. How can we do better at getting our customers to consume what we create?
Okay. Now, if you go into any store, like you go to Borders or you go to any bookstore, the first thing you run into is a whole bunch of books of marketing. And the books of marketing usually talk about two topics. And the first topic is usually attraction, and the second is conversion. Now, the problem is that these work really well. So you can attract a lot of people, and then you can convert them. But the factor is one of consumption. And when I say consumption, what do I mean by consumption? Well, it's best described with an analogy. Imagine you are attracted to, you know, the street. So you go out on the street and you're hungry, and you see all of these restaurants, and then you're attracted to the restaurant. Well, you get into the restaurant, you order your meal, and that's conversion. So you've gone through that phase of attraction, you've gone through the phase of conversion, and now you're sitting there, the meal's come in front of you, it's on this plate, it's delicious looking, smells great, and then you look at the meal and you walk away. Now, essentially what has happened is you haven't consumed the meal. So the question then arises, well, if you have been attracted and converted, and you haven't consumed the meal, what are the chances that you'll come back to the restaurant?
Pretty slim.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, in information marketing, this happens all the time. Interestingly, people buy into books they never read, they download PDFs they never read, they get into teleclasses and every kind of information marketing, and they'll buy into it. They'll even buy into a course, and they won't show up in the forum. They won't. And what you have is a situation where everyone's focused so much on this attraction, getting people through the funnel, and then converting them, taking the money, and saying, wow, our job is done. And and consumption is the factor where it's all at. So if you have that meal and you have a great meal, well, essentially you're going to come back because you've enjoyed yourself. You've consumed it. This is a problem because, I mean, the consumption is critical under any circumstance. So under any marketing scenario, consumption is critical. But what has made our situation at Psychotactics a little different is that we set out to build our business, and from 2002, when we started Psychotactics, till now, 2008, we've had no affiliates. We've had no joint ventures. We've had a very tiny audience. So we've actually broken a lot of the rules in marketing, but in doing so, we've actually started to create what someone just starting out would have. They would have no affiliates. They would have no joint ventures. They would have a very tiny audience.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, consumption is critical. But even for the marketer that's an advanced marketer, if you take these concepts of attraction, conversion, and consumption, which we call atversumption, we've taken little bits of it and called it atversumption, if you understand this factor of consumption, well, suddenly you've got an enormous amount of possibilities with very few clients.
Can I give a proof of that in my own experience?
Yeah.
Very briefly? A friend of mine is a former Russian Spetsnaz soldier. This is their special forces, and he left Russia fairly long time ago, and settled in Canada, and pretty much decided he didn't want to have anything to do with anything martial anymore. But he was in the gym, and he was doing his routines, which are very unique, and some people saw him and asked, what are you doing, and could you teach us? And he reluctantly started teaching them, and that turned into a regular group, and that turned into a formal school, and that now is not very many years later, 50 affiliate schools, an annual a conference that attracts people from all over the world, a 30 or 40 DVD library, and a very nice business. And I'll tell you, he and his wife, I love them. They couldn't market their way out of a paperback. They don't have a marketing bone in their body. However, he's such an effective trainer, and he's delivering such phenomenal knowledge, and he stimulates such huge consumption on the part of other people that do come to him, that the thing has grown, I would say, pretty much entirely on the consumption end of the equation, alone.
Yeah. And the big problem with consumption is that it's totally out. It's the only factor out of your control. So you can actually, you know, stand in front of an audience and attract them. You can get them to sign up to something, but you can't make them read. You can't make them listen to your audio. You know, for instance, this audio. There is no way, or rather, there are ways to do it, but essentially, when it goes out there, if it just goes out there, there is no guarantee that someone's going to actually listen to it. So you've got to actually create consumption design. And when we talk about consumption design, what we're really talking about is that, first of all, you have to look at what kind of media you're working with. So if you're working with an ebook, or you're working with a physical book, or you're looking at a CD or a teleclass like this, each of those factors is you first have to consider the media. But the second thing is that, let's say we take an example. Let's say we take a physical book, something you can get in Borders. Each page, each chapter, the starting, the introduction, the end, everything must be viewed not from just the content perspective, but a consumption perspective. How does someone understand that concept and is able to implement that concept? So we actually break it down into very tiny bits, and we'll start to say, well, let's just take the introduction, and let's look at the introduction, and what are the parts in that introduction that we need to start looking at? So, for instance, we'll actually get a customer to go to a specific page or do a specific thing right at the start of the book. Before they even read the book, they've gone to, say, page 67. We do this with one of our books, The Brain Audit, which is we talk about, hey, you've got this book, there's lots of stuff in the book, but how can you do this right now? And we move them from page 1 to page 67 in the first instance. Now, this sounds quite weird. I mean, logically, you're supposed to read a book sequentially.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're really doing is you're pulling the person pretty much into the drama, pretty much into how a movie picks up. You know, most movies roll out this way. They don't start off with once upon a time. That's how stories start out. Most movies will take the most dramatic part of the movie and slam it right at the top. So when you look at something like, say, Titanic, I don't remember it clearly, if you were making a movie on Titanic, the worst thing would be everyone boarding the Titanic and getting there. The most important drama piece would be someone sighting the iceberg, which is, I think, how, you know, it's how the movie starts. And then it rolls back into the sequence, which is, oh, this is how we started. And you understand what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely.
The drama is the factor that pulls people in, and once they've consumed that, they go, wow, I wonder what else I could do. I wonder what else. So what you're actually getting people to do is you've got a product that you've sold, but now you're looking at how can I consume it. Now, that's only one way. We have courses, for instance, and we design the courses in such a way that when the person has finished the course, 3 months after, 6 months after, they still come back to consume the course. That doesn't happen in conventional marketing.
Wow.
So,
And this is something that you design right into the product, information product.
That's right. Because when you look at the whole factor, it's a factor of how do I keep the customer coming back, which is when you're looking at it, you're really looking at a factor of, you know, the second topic that we're going to cover today, which is sequential selling. If you want just a few really good clients and you want to work with people that you like, then essentially you can't start selling to everyone because that's a very frustrating process, having to go out and get new clients all the time, and this churn is just very, very frustrating for a marketer. So when we start to look at consumption, we also have to look at sequential selling. Now, very interestingly, sequential selling has existed for the longest time. You know, you look at karate. You get into the first stage of karate, which is white belt, and then you go to, I don't know, maybe green belt or yellow belt and red belt, and then you reach the black belt. And then when you finish the black belt or got to the black belt, you know there are 10 stages of black belt.
Mm-hmm.
So at every stage in the whole sequence, you know exactly where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You go to school, same thing. You go to kindergarten, you know exactly how you're going to graduate from school. You get into a religion. You say you were born into a religion. You actually have steps. So in the Catholic religion, you have steps where you have your you know, your birth ceremony, which, and then you have communion and confirmation, and other religions have the same. They have sequences. You know, you get married. There are sequences in the whole thing. Now, what happens is that this becomes important because, first of all, it makes sure that people know where they are at every stage. It's almost like being at the airport. When you check into the airport, you check in your bags, you know exactly what to do next and next and next and next and next. So you're eager to finish or to at least go through those steps. That's not what happens in regular marketing. In regular marketing, what happens is someone will sell a product, and then they'll hope to hell that you work out the second product.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is different from funnel marketing, which we'll just touch in, you know, the funnel where you get customers and you go through this phase. So you sell, okay, first we get free, then we have the second stage, then they buy a $29, you know, $79, $100. That's different. We're not talking about a factor of that they're moving down. You're actually looking at what are the fundamental things that they have to do to improve their knowledge, not just sell them something. And
gotcha.
So essentially what happens is instead of becoming a cheesy salesperson, you now become a scientist. You become a planner. You become a parent. You pretty much like a parent looks, you know, child is born, okay, we have to put them into school. We have to get them to university. And you start to care for that client with a sequence that they understand. They know what they have to do. You know what you have to do. And you become like a scientist. You become like a parent. You become like a planner. But you start to also see that, first of all, everyone knows where they're going. The second thing is it guarantees revenue, because when a client knows exactly what they have to do next, the chances are that they are going to follow that sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you to structure and plan for both your clients as well as you. But here's the most important thing. The most important thing is that it gets all the clients on the same page. Now, if you've ever done any information marketing, and I know you've done loads, but essentially if you're, you know, when we're speaking to the audience, anyone who's done information marketing has one big problem, that everyone is on a different page when they get to whatever you're selling. And yet, when you look at all the stuff like karate or religion or school, everyone's on the same page. So when they go from, you know, grade one to grade two, everyone's on the same page. Grade three, everyone's on the same page. Karate, you know, they move from white belt to green belt, everyone's on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
This involves a lot less frustration on your part because, first of all, it's guarantees income because people are moving down the line. It gets clients on the same page. And, you know, it takes away a lot of the frustration of you having to constantly deal with clients. So let me give you an example of what we do at Psychotactics, for instance.
Okay.
We have a base product, which is about $100, which is the brain audit. Now, what we have is we have a very clear sequence, which is the brain audit, then 5000 BC, which is a membership site, then a series of courses like copywriting, article writing, etc. Then we have a year-long course like called the Protégé. And then eventually we've got a university which we'll put in place called Casa Loca, which is the madhouse, right? So
okay.
We're actually planning the client sequence over a period of not just 1 year or 5 months, but literally over the next 15 years. And
wow.
What we're looking at is the average route of the customer or route of the customer is then most of them start on the same page, which is they get to the psychotactic site, and from there they go to brain audit, and they go to 5000 BC, and then we ensure that they're on the same page because if they want to get in any of the courses, now the courses are $2,000 and upwards, but they can't buy it. So if someone comes to us and pays us the $2,000, they can't get into the course. They have to go back to the brain audit. They have to go back to the white belt and come down. Otherwise, they can't do it.
Okay.
Now, sometimes this can be frustrating for clients, but what happens is once they get to their course or to the year-long program, everyone is starting to be on the same page because they've got the same grounding.
Gotcha.
And now, this is also generating additional income. but it also helps me concentrate on what I love to do. And what I love to do is not isolated to just making money. It's also about creating stuff and doing things, you know. And
mm-hmm.
when we start to look back to that restaurant example, you'll see that the sequential sales happens every single time we go to a restaurant. If you go to a good restaurant and you have a great time, then here's the sequence that you followed. You've gone there, they started off with starters, they've given you your drinks, they've given you your main meal, they've gone to dessert, and you've had coffee, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You miss out any of those steps, and here's what happens to you. You actually feel cheated.
Mm.
So imagine if you walked into the restaurant, they said, well, we don't serve starters and drinks, we'll just give you the mains. Or we'll give you the mains, but you can't have dessert. Or you can't have coffee, but you can have starters. Any drop in that sequence actually frustrates you as a customer.
Mm.
Because you know the sequence. You feel comfortable with the sequence, and so you want to go through the sequence. And usually if you go back to the best meals you've ever had, you've gone through this complete sequence where the restaurant has made the most money. So, you know, three, four people walk into a restaurant, they'll spend $350 at a good restaurant.
Can I give another example?
Yeah, sure.
Something that struck me a couple of years ago, near where I live in upstate New York, there's a racetrack called Saratoga, and it's famous in the United States, and maybe in the world even. And a colleague said, "Oh, if you live anywhere near there, you've got to go." So I've never been to the racetrack before, so I went. And it was very confusing at first, but after a while, I realized there was a very consistent pattern. The horses would be brought out. They'd be paraded around. You could sort of look at them and, you know, figure out what you thought about them. Then a trumpet would blow, and then the horses would be led to the track. People would make their bets, and then the horse race would end, and then the winners would be announced, and the winner would be in the winner's circle and get the whatever the prize was, and then they'd repeat it, and they'd repeat that, I believe, 9 times per meet, or per not per meet per day. And then every day was the same thing over and over again. And it struck me as an outsider, since I wasn't really a horse racing fan, how repetitive the whole thing was. But then I had to look around and see thousands and thousands of people having a great time, spending goodness knows how much money, both on food and the admission and getting there and the bets and so on. And it sort of, I filed it away in my mind, thinking, boy, there's something to this repetition thing, and I'm the way you're describing it is helping me understand what I observed.
Yeah, and, you know, people say, well, why should I do the sequential selling? Why don't I just sell 10 different products to 10 different people? I'll answer that shortly with cyclical pricing, but the other thing is you have a factor of the scramble, and the scramble essentially is the opposite of sequential selling, which is you've got a new product, you have to sell that. Sequential selling is almost a form of subscription selling when you think about it. It's just that the prices tend to go up all the time. And most marketers seem to know this inherently. They know that there is a sequence to it, but they've never, or they don't actually sit down and map, okay, here's where you are. It's almost a factor of, we hope to hell that the customer is going to buy this and that and that. And they never, ever tell you that that's the sequence. They never tell you, okay, guys, here's where you are and here's where you need to be and here are all the steps in between. So if you go to most marketers when they're selling products or services, you'll find that they have a whole bunch of products and services and you have no idea what you should be doing first or second or third. All you can see is a factor of pricing, and you're not really sure. Because, for instance, if you got to the psychotactic site and you know, you looked at a price that was $100 and then there was something that was, you know, say $500, how would you know that the $500 product was building on the $100 product? And is it building? Because when you really look at how we learn and why consumption tends to fall down, is every time we're learning something new, it's like learning a new language. So when you look at Photoshop, for instance, or InDesign, or many of the programs that we deal with every day, The reason why we can handle the upgrade is because it's built on layers. And we know version 1, so we can handle version 2. We know version 2, so we can handle version 3. Your product, your sequential products, should actually be engineered in such a way that you're teaching people in layers rather than, okay, this is product 1 and that's product 2. Again, karate is the same thing. It's building on one layer over the next layer over the third layer. And if you truly care about how your customer is going to, you know, improve their life, then you really need to sit down and work this out. It's not the customer's job to work it out. And yet you can go to, I don't know, dozens, hundreds, thousands of websites, and you'll never find this.
I absolutely agree with you, and it's when you state it, it becomes so obvious and so true, and yet you can look all over and see virtually nobody doing this. And I would say, especially in the internet marketing field, it's become what is the hot technique of the month or the quarter, and everybody gets behind whoever happens to be the chosen one for that quarter, and they push it, sell as many as they can, and then it's over.
That's right.
And then it's a little time passes, and then the next hot thing comes. There's no continuity. There's no transition from one skill level to another. There's no perspective for the student. There's no path laid out for them. It's quite amazing. Now I have to say, we've done this on a primitive level. We have after we started the system seminar, which was originally designed for business owners who wanted to add the internet to their mix, and we were seeing a lot of them having just terrible experiences, spending $5, $10, $15, in one case $100,000 to develop websites, and getting little, if sometimes nothing back. Our original intention was just to teach existing business owners how to use the web effectively to add to their sales, and then we discovered, a lot of people were interested in what we were teaching, and that evolved into a seminar. And then we discovered, a lot of people are coming to the seminar who don't know business basics and don't know even internet basics. So we created a course called Systems Smart Beginners, which aspires and I think succeeds in laying out the fundamentals not only of internet marketing but also the fundamentals of conceiving of a business. And then from that, people can, if we try to persuade people that they need to make a decision. You know, there's different kinds of internet businesses. There's no such thing as internet marketing or internet business in the abstract. There are specific kinds, and we identified what those were, and we created courses specifically for those. So we have thought about this sequencing, but nowhere near to the extent you have, and I'm really it's given me a lot to think about. So I appreciate you sharing this, because this is profound. And again, you're right. I could probably talk to 999 info marketers and or not talk to them, but look at what they're doing, and you won't see any kind of progression, progressive sequence. You'll just see here's what I want to sell today.
And the proof of structured sequential marketing has existed for thousands of years. I mean, it's not internet based. You look around you and you start to, as I said, you know, all the examples we gave, schools, universities, all the things that are fundamentally very sound, religions. I mean, you may be anti-religion or pro-religion, it doesn't matter. The foundation of religion, schools, universities, karate, they're all thousands of years old. They're not like they just came around the corner yesterday. So then this is not internet marketing. This is not product marketing. This is understanding that your client is like your child, that the child needs to be given a sequence and they need to know what that sequence is, how to follow that sequence, and when they're ready to move to the next sequence. And, you know, this takes us actually to the third section, which is cyclical pricing and sequential selling, which is, again, sounds all crazy, but just bear with me. The point is that prices and sequential selling are very intrinsically connected. So, you know, for instance, when you actually move back in time, you say, okay, I've got kids today, say you've got a family, and then you go backwards, and you'll go back to the first date, and then you have first date, second date, third date, maybe, you know, you decide to get engaged, married, whatever, and you follow a certain sequence. And each of that sequence, each part of that sequence, so the first date has a price on it, the second date has a price on it, the third date has a price. And when I say price, I don't specifically mean a physical monetary price. It's a mental, emotional price that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a girl is going out with you today or a guy is going out with you today, then there is a price involved there. And if the price is too high, we back away. We back out from it. Sometimes we'll just back away and we'll come back, but sometimes we just back out of that system. So most marketers understand this, and that's why we have what is the traditional funnel, which is price one, price two, price three, price four, and that's usually going upwards. So it'll start, say, I don't know, $29, $39, $59, $200, and upwards. And that's very logical because that literally works out that a person is involved or is going to take minimal risk at the start and then move up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point that I'm bringing here is slightly different. I'm talking about cyclical pricing, which is actually weird. It's almost like a cycle. It goes round and round. It doesn't seem to go like most funnels, which is from up to down. So what I'm talking about is you start off with price one, price two, price three, then you go to price two, price one. What this means in pricing is you start off, say, with $100, you go to $500, $2,000, maybe $10,000, and then you bring out something which is $500 and then something which is $100. Now, you see that's actually regressing in a way, and you think, well, that's pretty crazy. But it's not as crazy as it looks, because when you look at, say, a restaurant, you go to a restaurant, and you have your starters, you have your drink, you have your main meal, you have your dessert and your coffee. Now, the point is that when you go to the second time to that same restaurant, you might start off with a different starter, which means you probably have a different drink, which means you have a different main meal, a different dessert and different coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Or a different, you know, whatever. The point that you're looking at is if the starter is different, the main meal may be different, which means that the dessert might be different. And this leads to product cycles. So a client can buy, say you've got a product on, I don't know, say copywriting, for instance. Then a client can start with price one, which is $100, go to $500, go to $2,000, do the massive $10,000 seminar, 15-year coaching, whatever, and then decide that they want to buy something from you because they're so impressed with you, they want to buy something on, say, article writing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a completely different cycle. Now, where does this come from? Why do clients get into the cycle? What we did was we actually started to look at our numbers. And so we sell products from $100 to $500 to, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $10,000. And what we... What was very, very interesting was that we were selling as many $100 products as we were selling $2,500 products. So let me explain what that means. This means that if we sold $2,500 products and we sold X number of units, at the end of the year we'd, say, end up with 50,000. And then when we looked at our $100 product, we sold 50,000. What this told us was that in a year, you could get people on different cycles. Even though they're following a sequence, you could create several sequences that run parallel to each other like train tracks. So a person could be going through one sequence, gets to the end of that sequence, now has to start off with a new sequence. And that new sequence has to start at the bottom, and you'll think, wait a second, I've established all the trust, I've, you know, this person knows me, but it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Every new product is like starting a new relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take a simple example. Supposing you got the iPod. well, logically, you should just sign up for the iPhone. It doesn't work that way. You actually have to go through all the objections of buying the iPhone. So you have to go through that whole sequence in your brain before you get into the iPhone and all the iPhone accessories. So you go from iPod accessories, all the stuff to do with iPod, then you go to iPhone, all the accessories. And it's the same thing with information products. So a customer will go, I'll do all the stuff in copywriting, then they'll go back to sequence, second sequence, which is all the stuff in article writing, then all the stuff on, say, info product marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And so each of your product line needs to have that sequence from one end to the other end for two reasons. One is that a customer has a certain number, certain amount of risk, and so they want to start at the bottom before they go to the top. They don't want to buy the $5,000 product right at the start.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing, and this is more a monetary issue, is that when you have a $2,000 product or a very high-priced product, you'll think, well, I don't need to sell so many, or I'll sell a lot. You'll find that essentially if you sold a lot of $100 products in a year, you would still make $50,000 on that single $100 product. And then if you do that five times a year, well, it's much less effort having to create a $100 product five times a year than it is to create a $2,500 product five times a year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when you start to tally up everything, if you created one $2,500 product, it would probably take you X amount of time. And in that time, you could probably create three $100 products. Now, what that means is that often, and if you've got your marketing right, you'll make $50,000 on your $2,500 product, and you'll make $50,000 on each of your $100 product. So you make $150,000 on your $100 products, and you'll make $50,000 on your $2,500 product.
Mm-hmm.
But you've started a cycle, a parallel line, like a train line, one, two, three, four tracks. And then as a customer finishes that, they got the next step and the next step and the next step. Now, a large part of what I'm talking about involves the planning to start with. So when you're starting up a new product, you want to plan, okay, I'm starting up a course on, say, copywriting, and this is a $10,000 product, and let's move backwards, and we'll see every single step of the way how it works.
Can I ask you a question, Sean?
Yeah, sure.
There are a lot of info marketing businesses around, and some of them talk about how much what their revenue is and so on. And what's interesting is some of the companies that advertise that they have such great revenue also have huge overhead and,
that's
and
right.
staff.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking, you know, I know there's one famous case of someone that talks about making, I don't know what he's saying these days, but over $10 million a year in sales, but then he's got 50 employees. And,
yep.
and he says, well, they're virtual, they're not all under, well, he's still paying them. How many employees do you have to pull this off?
Just me and my wife.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little better. I think it's a very important point.
And we don't have any virtual assistant. We don't have any. We don't have anything. I mean, it's that's only half the story. The most important part of the story is my goal, which you know a lot of your listeners are going to share. My goal is that I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and have the resources to do it. So, for instance, after this call, I want to go to the cafe and just sit there the whole day. I can actually do that. That means probably that I won't have to put out another product or do something like that. But if you take your business systematically and you grow it year after year after year, you'll find that, and you know, it's a stupid thing when people say, okay, from this year to next year, it's going to be, wow, you're going to grow 500%. You could,
mm-hmm.
because if you're earning $50, 500% is quite simple.
Mm-hmm.
But for a business to really nicely run itself, and if you've structured it right, you give it between 3 to 5 years, and you start to see that you've actually got lots of time. The real currency of human beings is not money. It's a factor of time. It's how can you do what you want, when you want, and have the resources to do it. And this goes into a completely different topic, But what we're really looking at is that when you create this sequential marketing, first of all, your customer feels that you understand them. They are on the same page. They learn in layers. They feel protected. It becomes very hard for competition to poach them. Now, you know, will there be dropouts? Well, you look at religion, you look at karate, you look at restaurants. There are going to be dropouts. And some of the dropouts will be early, and some of them will be even, you know, you get down to a $10,000 program, and they're going to be dropouts at that point in time. But why would clients then keep getting into new cycles? Because there are obvious benefits for them. There's also greater revenue for them. They understand that having finished one step, the second step is going to bring in greater revenue. And, you know, the same thing as I want, they want, which is more time. And,
yeah. And you've created that for yourself. And unfortunately, we're running out of time on this call, but I think people who've listened to this and really paid attention to the things Sean's saying will understand now why Sean's newsletter is one of only three that I read on a regular basis. There's a lot of things that he talked about in this call I don't think you'll find really from any other source, and which is really remarkable when you think of how many people are teaching info marketing. And to learn something new and to see things in a new light is pretty rare. Sean will be one of our faculty members at System 2008. He'll be running a session. We're going to have 25 different workshop sessions on all kinds of topics. In Sean's case, he'll be talking about info marketing. We're going to have classes on pay-per-click, on search engine marketing, on of course, info marketing, physical products marketing, marketing with video, some of the new breakthroughs in Web 2.0 marketing, mobile marketing, marketing via cell phone, which I believe we're the first seminar in our industry to pay attention to that and bring some quality material to the table. And the list goes on and on. It's truly a conference. And if you are looking at Internet marketing, seriously, if you're already involved, if you already have an Internet component to your business, I really can't think of a faster, more efficient, more cost-effective way to get with the best people in the industry, see where things are headed, learn what the best practices are in each of the various Internet marketing disciplines, and most of all, meet our faculty. And I think people who've listened to all these calls are starting to realize that this is a pretty extraordinary group of people. And Sean is going to be coming all the way from New Zealand. He's got some other things to do, of course, when he's in the States, but one of the things he's doing is going to be appearing at our event, which we're very grateful for obvious reasons. Sean, you've got a newsletter, and I feel so strongly about your letter. I'd love it if people knew about it and got on the list. How do they do that?
Well, the easiest thing is to look it up on Google. It's Psychotactics. If you get
Psychotactics. Yeah, okay. Great. All right. And for people who are interested, the details about this annual event, System 2008, will be held in the city of Chicago, and the dates are May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. Again, 25 different faculty members, as well as 25 individual sessions with several general sessions. We're having an executive from Google, from their AdWords division. One of the leaders of that division is going to be coming. That's, I believe, another first for our industry. People have had ex-employees of Google and ex-employees of Yahoo and ex-employees of Microsoft, but it's very rare for a company of that stature to send one of their key executives to address a conference. And I think that reflects on kind of the position the system holds in the Internet marketing world. So if this sounds interesting to you, we'd love to have you. The website to go to is www.thesystemseminar.com, thesystemseminar.com. And also, if you're enjoying this, please share the existence of our series with friends. It's absolutely free. As you can see, Sean didn't hold anything back. We did as much as we could in an hour. That's what all of our faculty members are doing in these free trainings. In fact, we've actually had people, some of you have probably already heard the story, but we've had more than one person who's built a business entirely from the free trainings that we give, which we're delighted. I think that that's great. And now he's able to come and pay the tuition and be part of the trainings for real. And that's a very good sequence, which I'm believe me, I'm going to be thinking about sequences a lot more after this call. So Sean D'Souza of Psychotactics, thank you so much for your time. We're looking forward to meeting you in person finally in Chicago and getting to attend your session.
I'm looking forward to being there.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Bye, Ken.
All right, bye-bye.